This morning we will be turning to Psalm 25, but first let us ask the Lord for his guidance. Let us pray. Lord, as we turn to your word, may you show us your way. May you teach us your path, and may you guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 25, page 863 in the Pew Bible. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me put to shame, and nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in the Lord will ever be put to shame, for they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in their ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The trouble of my heart have multiplied. Fear me for my anguish. Look upon my affliction, my distress. Take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O Lord, from all their troubles. Thus far the reading of the word of the Lord. As I was reading this passage, I realized that when I prepared this message, I was preparing it from the same version, New International Version, but it was from a version a little bit newer. So some of the language is just a little bit different. So as I quote these verses, some of the words are a little bit different. So we go through it again. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. What happens then? Are you anticipating something dramatic to happen? What actually are you waiting for? We watch a video and we can just wait in anticipation maybe for those 10 seconds. But is that really waiting at all? Waiting in a long line on the road to the air show just over a week ago can be more enduring when traffic seems endless. But is that truly waiting? What about waiting on the Lord? The text begins with saying, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust." That's where the new version is a little bit different. It says, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust." Trust is not waiting, is it? Now, trust is not the same as waiting, but in the word trust, waiting is part of it. Do you put your trust in the Lord? Do you trust the Lord will fulfill his promises? If you trust in the Lord, you will wait on the Lord. But there's also a significant difference within the word wait. You can wait in line on the road to watch the air show, and hopefully you will get there. With that kind of waiting, comes maybe along a sense of anxiety. We ask ourselves if we're going to get to the air show in time. The traffic is a little crazy, and so we become a little anxious. But when we trust that the Lord will be faithful to all that He promises, we also wait, but we wait with confidence. We might not know how or when, but we know the Lord will be faithful to His promises. And so the psalmist, David, is confident in his Lord. David begins this psalm with a confident statement. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. See, last Sunday, I was listening to a conversation about saying the words, I love you. Some say it all the time, and others say it less frequently. See, a comment also been floating around saying, I told you I loved you once, and I'll let you know when it's different. During that conversation last Sunday, a grandparent told me that her granddaughter says, I love you, every time she visits. Is it good? Is this good? I think so. I think it's really good. I think we need to say it often. See, David also says, in you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. What happens if we say that every day? What happens if we say that every time we get a little anxious? There's a reason for repetition. It becomes part of you. If we said all the time, in you, Lord God, I put my trust. Every time we get anxious, in you, Lord God, I put my trust. It seems that as a culture, we follow our heart. If our heart goes in a way, our head will follow. We make decisions based on our heart, on our feelings. But that is not how the psalm is written. It is written this way, get your head right, and your heart will follow. David begins with what's in his head. In verse 2, he begins with saying it again, in you I trust. The psalms are literally littered with these words, over and over and over again, in you I put my trust. Verse 1 is an introduction to the psalm. It sets the stage. Part 1, verses 2 and 3, trust. I need to get it in my head. And so the psalmist says it again. He says with honesty, knowing that he needs to get his head right. This is what David says. I trust in you. Do not let me put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. In these two verses, the word shame is written three times. Google defines shame this way. Shame is a painful feeling that is a mix of regret, self-hate, and dishonor. A good person would feel shame if they cheated on a test or did something mean to a friend. But that's not what the shame means here. Shame in this text is more of a letdown. And so we could say that this psalm, that these verses in this psalm says, Lord, I trust you. Do not let me down. Remember, Lord, I trust you. So do not let my enemies triumph over me. Do not let me down, Lord. Remember that whoever puts hope in you will not be let down. And the letdown will be on those who are treacherous. David knows that the Lord is trustworthy and that the Lord will not let him down. But he needs to say it out loud. Really? Yeah, really. There's a reason why we need to say to each other, I love you. We need to say it out loud. We need to say out loud, Lord, I trust you. See, you might know a person who has always loved you. But there might be a moment you're questioning that. You can let your heart lead, which will make that feeling fester deeper and deeper. Or you can remind yourself, hey, I am loved. I know that person loves me. I know it in my head. I might not be feeling that right now, but I am. If I put my head into thinking about how this person has always shown their love, I know they love me. Say that again and again. Say it out loud. Get your head right. David worked on it, and so should we. In verse 3, David says, "No one whose hope is in the Lord will ever be put to shame." Can you remember that? Put your hope in the Lord. Trust Him. Part 2 of the psalm. This part could be titled God's School. I know we necessarily don't want to be talked about God's school in the middle of the summer, but or school period, but anyways, Boyce kind of labeled it that way, and I kind of liked it. And let's read it again. "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good." It's one thing to say you trust someone, but it's another thing to act on it. What does it mean to act on it? Back in 2022, the youth spent a day by the Klein River, rappelling down a cliff. It's easy to say, "Hook me up, let me down the cliff." But it's another thing actually to do it. And it's still another thing to do this when you're terrified of heights. And on top of that, the leader makes you go first. Why must you go first? Because the leader knows that those who are scared to do this will get more scared the longer they wait. If there's going to be success, then you need to do this now. The youth, however, trusted the guide, the harness, the rope, the leader, and went over the edge. Trust. It is an action word. Went over the edge. The psalmist David says, "I trust you, Lord." Now, we come to the school part. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Lord, I want to follow you with all of my heart, but I need to get it in my head first. I need to know your ways so that I can follow you with all of my heart. Did you notice the text? Your ways, your path, your truth. Can we begin to grasp that? This is not what you feel is right, but what God says is right. It's not negotiable. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your experience. It's not based on how you think things should go. We need to follow the ways of the Lord, and we need to ask the Lord to teach us His path and guide us in His truth. Not our path or our truth, but the Lord's. Why? Let's read the rest of part 2, for that is where the answer is held. "For you are the God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good." Simply, God is our Savior. Therefore, our hope is in Him. May we always remember that our Lord has great mercy on us, undeserving mercy. Interestingly, undeserving mercy is actually a redundant term. Undeserved mercy, undeserved love. They're from of old. They've always been there. The word love and mercy are in the plural, so the text could be read this way. Lord, your acts of mercy and your acts of love are great, as we have seen in the past. Lord, because of your mercy, do not remember the sins of my youth or my rebellious ways. See, we live in a world where we admire youth, we admire rebellious ways. But the psalmist reminds us that those are not to be cherished. In fact, we need to seek forgiveness for that. And we need to ask the Lord to forget the sins of our youth, the sins of our rebellious ways. Remember always, the Lord is good. Now we come at the end of part two, which leads us to part three. And we could title this part, The Meeting of Mercy and Justice, verses 8 through 11. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust him that he is good and upright? Do you trust his ways are just? Remember, trust? It's an action word. Will you put your life on it? Will you put your life on God's instruction and his way? If your life would be like rappelling down a cliff, would that rope be the instruction and the ways of the Lord? That's trust. Putting your life in the way of the Lord. Justice, mercy. God's mercy, he forgives. God's also just. There's only one way, and that's his way. The text also says, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. The demands of his covenant. That's pretty strong language, but so true. David ends part three of the psalm asking for forgiveness. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Do you need forgiveness? What do you need forgiveness from? In your heart, name them. Can you? I'm not talking about just simply saying, forgive my sins, Lord. Listen to David's words, for my iniquity, though it is great. Do you see yourself as a great sinner? And then you might ask, how does that fit with the theme of trust? How can this be in that same psalm? It has everything to do with trust. If one does not need forgiveness, then one does not need to trust in God, but only in oneself. David acknowledges that God is his Savior, verse 5, but he knows he cannot save himself. He trusts in his Savior. Who is your Savior? Who do you trust? See, in a very well-known passage, John 3, 16 and 17, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but save the world through him. Do you trust Jesus, the Savior? Did he die for you? Trusting is an action word. Trusting also means admitting that you do not know it on your own and you cannot do it on your own. It is relying on God's truth and not your truth, God's way and not your way. Part four can be titled, Who are they that trust in the Lord? Verses 12 and 15. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Simple question, in a way. Who are they that trust in the Lord? And it's a simple answer. Those who seek him. That's simple. And the Lord will reveal his promises to them. The Lord will instruct them in his ways. And so David ends this section with saying, my eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. It is only He. It is only the Lord who will rescue us. Do you trust Him? David starts the psalm by getting his head right. And now in this section, his heart follows. Getting your head right, your heart will follow. And then part 5 can be titled Asking for a Blessing, verses 16 and 21. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fierce they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. David comes to his Lord and reminds himself that he trusts in his Lord. He's getting his head right so that his heart can follow. He's asking for help and for a blessing. He knows he can't do it on his own. What is your prayer? What is your ask? Do you beg the Lord to turn towards you and be gracious to you? Do you ask the Lord to be relieved from trouble? Do you ask the Lord to rescue you? See, often at the end of a church service, we receive this blessing from the Lord, where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. This blessing, as well as the blessing at the end of the psalm, acknowledges that we're all lost without our Lord. May he be gracious to us. And let us never forget, everyone, yes, everyone, doesn't matter what happens in the past, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, says Romans 10, verse 13. Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is so gracious that he gave himself up for us, his death and resurrection and ascension. And therefore, this leads us to the concluding verse. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. It's interesting. Deliver Israel. This is not a me statement, but it is an us statement. May all of God's people be delivered from trouble. What more can be said? What more can be said? And with that, I'd like to invite the worship team forward. And as they come forward, one more time, so wait for it. So wait for it. Wait for it. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord, and we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, because our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer, you are our everlasting God, the everlasting God. And our God, we know you don't faint and you don't grow weary. In you, Lord God, I put my trust.